Pour yourself a cold one.
Let's drink them, huh?
And listen to Russ Tucker and Philadelphia Eagles film junkie Fran Duffy break down the top college prospects on another tasty edition of The College Draft.
Yeah, it is Daddy Soda time, and it is our first College Draft podcast after the 2018 NFL Draft. We basically build up all year for this one event. Now, during the season, a lot of it's just giving you guys something to watch and something to check out during the weekend. Check out the Saturday games that are the biggest games. But it's mainly built up to the weekend that just was. Fran was killing it for the Philadelphia Eagles. I was in Dallas for DAZN. A lot of you that listen to the Ross Tucker Football Podcast know, or even if you don't, I kind of gave my quick hit thoughts on every team and what they did yesterday on the Ross Tucker Football Podcast. So certainly check that out. Today here on the College Draft, it's more about my man Fran. At FDuffy3 on Twitter, the video scouting guru for the Philadelphia Eagles. I'm at Ross Tucker NFL. The station, the podcast company is at RTF Podcast. So you know exactly when any of our shows are posted. Fran, before we even get into some of your thoughts on the draft, I guess my first question is just, what is like Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday after the draft like for you? I mean, are you just like absolutely devastated or what?
There's no like, you know, no pity party or anything. But, you know, Sunday is basically a day to sleep. So I slept for a solid like 10, 11 hours Saturday night into Sunday, went to the movies, got a couple things done around the house, just kind of like a decompressed day. And then Monday was Ed Oliver day. So you come in and you get going on the first prospect for 2019. And look, you know, there were a few guys that got drafted or, you know, signed an undrafted free agency that were notable names that, you know, I wish I could have done a little bit more work on. So I'll start doing those this week as well. But I was kind of chomping at the bit to look ahead as well. So it's a little bit of both.
Yeah, because for me, I'm just kind of sad because it's the best part of the off season. I freaking love the draft. And now, you know, we'll start to get some reports coming in about OTAs and stuff. And then training camp, preseason games. I like preseason games more than most people, I guess. But, yeah, man, kind of a bummer. I guess I always like to start this show every year, Fran, with just what some of your biggest surprises were and to see whether or not they match what some of my biggest surprises were.
Well, I mean, you got to start at the very top, and the biggest surprise is just Baker Mayfield going number one. I mean, by that point, by the time Roger Goodell walks on stage, I think we all kind of had an idea that it was possible. There was enough buzz in the 2 days leading up that it was a possibility, but still very shocking to see that he was the pick when it was all said and done. And then to follow that up, Cleveland shocks everybody else by going with Denzel Ward over Bradley Chubb because, you know, by this point, it was like, okay, they're going to take a quarterback and then they're going to take Chubb. It's not going to be Saquon Barkley. You know, it's not going to be any of these other guys. If it is anyone, I guess it could be Denzel Ward, but it's going to be Bradley Chubb. Well, you know, they go up and they select Denzel Ward, and it was a shocking move as well. So I would say the Cleveland Browns' first two picks were probably the most shocking thing for me just to get things started off in the draft. And to me, it was one of the craziest first rounds that I can remember. I don't know if that was the case for you, but one of the craziest first rounds of the draft that I can remember.
Yep, I was surprised by both of those. I mean, we knew it would be Baker Mayfield by that point, but it's kind of crazy, Fran, when you look back on our shows from a year ago and last summer, and that's why we highly encourage people to listen to us year-round because you get a chance to see what we think early on, guys, and kind of build up to it and how that changes. But to think, you know, where we were when we first talked quarterbacks maybe 10 months ago and that Baker Mayfield would be the number one pick in the draft is pretty incredible because I know you were not overly high on him, you know, when we started this process way back when.
And there weren't many that were. You know, I think I remember seeing I know Bucky Brooks was tweeting about it. You know, there's all the national scouting grades, those preseason grades that get done by the national scouts at both National Scouting and Blesto in the summer. Those services were not high on Baker Mayfield either. And if you had told scouts back, you know, we'll say even September 1 last year that Baker Mayfield was going to be the number one pick, I think they would have looked at you like you had two noses on your face. Like, I mean, I think it would have been a very shocking development, and it certainly was, to see where we are here today. And it seems like, Ross, you know, just kind of reading all the media reports, you know, you check out MMQB yesterday, you check out a couple of other resources, it seems like it came down to the it factor, which is so interesting because all we've heard is how Sam Darnold's got all the intangibles and he's the guy you want to rally around. And, you know, Baker Mayfield had all the other stuff going before him off the field. Doesn't seem like the NFL agreed.
No, I'm with you, or at least not the Browns, right? I mean, you know, that's the only team we really have to go on. Although I thought it was pretty surprising, quite frankly, Fran, that the Giants didn't take Sam Darnold at number two. I personally think that they will regret that, but that I really felt like if Darnold was there at two, that that was the only quarterback the Giants liked and that they would take him, and I was wrong. Let's get to some other things that surprised you. I mean, obviously, the Darius Geis thing surprised everybody, and I have a theory on that. Do you want to hear it?
Let's hear your theory.
So he switched agents during the process, okay? Now, I don't know
multiple
if that
times,
means
yeah. –
what's that?
I believe it was multiple times.
See, I didn't know that, but at any rate, I don't know if it was his agent got rid of him and he had to find a new one, or he left his agent to go get another one. Either way, those other agents, their loyalty then is entirely to the teams and having good relationships with the teams. So they're going to tell the teams everything they got on the guy. You know, I mean, they're gonna tell the teams, oh, this guy's this, this guy's that, this guy's this. And I don't know. I mean, I've talked to Darius multiple times and always had great interactions with him. But, you know, those have been very limited when he's kind of on camera, if you will, you know, or we're interviewing him. You know, you never know what these guys are like when they're back in their hometowns or whatever.
Yeah, I think that's a very valid point. I don't know for sure how many times he changed agents or anything. I know there was at least one, but I think that that's a very valid argument as to why that could have happened. I mean, at the end of the day, he was the seventh running back drafted. Like, you look at the names that were it was Saquon, Rashad Penny, Sony Michel, Nick Chubb, Ronald Jones, Kerryon Johnson, then Darius Geis, and Royce Freeman shortly after. Like, really, really surprising that that would have happened, because I think most people would say Darius Geis was the number two running back. Some people even thought he was the number one running back in this class. So to see him fall to the seventh slot in terms of the positional stacking, I think was very surprising. And I guess hand in hand with that is Rashad Penny going first round, 27th overall to the Seattle Seahawks, especially considering to me, Seattle was kind of like a dark horse for me in terms of the team that could end up with Geis, because he's exactly the kind of power, competitive, like downhill runner that Pete Carroll always seems to go for. You look at all the guys that he's really brought in for the most part. You know, obviously there's beast mode, but then you look at guys like Chris Carson. You look at the kid from Thomas Rawls from Central Michigan a few years ago. Like, a lot of these guys are more of the big downhill grinders. I just kind of felt like, oh, yeah, if they pass on that, I think that says a lot. And they went with Rashad Penny, and that was very, very surprising to me.
Yeah, I was surprised with that. And then the next pick, Terrell Edmonds to the Steelers. I mean, those picks back-to-back, I wouldn't have been surprised if neither one of those guys went in the second round.
Yeah, and Edmonds is interesting because – you know, you listen to the way that they talk about him, and he's going to be a big part of sub package, which is a very valid point. You know, and I know that they were a big dime team last year with six defensive backs. So, you know, he's going to get on the field. It's just a matter of value. Like, is that the guy? Like, obviously, you have to view Terrell Edmonds as a three down player, and I'm sure that they do down the road. But I would say that it's unlikely that a lot of other teams felt that he was that. So that's going to be interesting to see how he develops. Sony Michel, going 31st overall, I think was still a surprise for me. There were some that had him in the first round, but I don't know that I was one of those people that had him in the first round. So that was certainly interesting. And then, I mean, Harold Landry falling out. Maurice Hurst, I know obviously we had the medical, and it seems like there was a report that Landry could have had, like, I think it was a knee or something else with medical with him that caused him to fall. But, I mean, Landry to me was like a top 12, top 10 prospect in this class, and he goes early parts of round two to the Tennessee Titans. I thought that was a huge, huge surprise for me in this draft.
Yeah, and then I guess the last one, Fran, was just the way things went down with the Ravens with Lamar Jackson.
What's most interesting about it is that, you know, they had the pick. They traded down a couple times. They get to the 25th pick, and they take Hayden Hurst. Hayden Hurst is a nice player. He's a solid tight end. He's a little bit older. He's going to be a 24-year-old rookie. They prioritized making sure that they acquired the services of Hayden Hurst when they liked Lamar Jackson enough to trade up using multiple second round, you know, they traded up using a future second round pick to get him. So they risked losing Lamar Jackson. You had all those teams behind you. You had the ability for another team to swoop in and trade up. So they liked Lamar Jackson, but they must have loved Hayden Hurst. And to me, that's also surprising. Like, if you view a guy, if you view a quarterback as your quarterback of the future, like, to me, like, that kind of trumps anything. So I think that that's interesting that that they still selected an older tight end, seven picks, before they ended up trading for a guy that is going to be their future quarterback. Obviously, it worked out for them. You can't knock the process. You can't knock the hustle there. But I think it was interesting. It was a very calculated risk there by Ozzie Newsome and the Baltimore Ravens.
How about some things that surprised some people that didn't surprise you at all?
So we talked about Geis and him falling. To me, the most surprising thing was that he was the seventh running back drafted. I didn't expect that. I did kind of expect him to fall out of round one, though. I think that there was enough buzz for that at this point, you know, leading up to the draft, that, you know, he might not go round one. To me, the most surprising part of it was that there were six guys taken ahead of him at the position. Saquon going number two to New York. You know, like I said throughout the process, look, you mentioned it earlier, if the Cleveland Browns go with Josh Allen or they end up going with Baker Mayfield and Sam Darnold's sitting there, I have a hard time believing that they're going to pass up on him. Or if they do, then at least they're going to trade down and get more picks and kind of, you know, equate the value of a franchise quarterback by acquiring multiple first-round picks. They didn't do it. I agree with you. I think it's going to be something that they look back on and wish that they had pulled the trigger on, because Saquon Barkley is a great player. You and I both agree. I think he may have been your favorite prospect in this class. He was my number two prospect in this class. Love, love, love his talent. He's going to be a great player. But nothing is more important than a franchise quarterback. And when you've got the ability to acquire that guy, I think you have to take that off. Now, that being said, they also may not have viewed any of these quarterbacks as franchise quarterbacks, which is very, you know, that's very possible. They may have looked at all of them and said, yeah, they're not our guy. But you still had there was a very substantial market for those players. You would think that you'd be able to acquire. I mean, you know, maybe I'm wrong, maybe we're crazy. We obviously don't know every detail what went on behind the curtain, but you would think that they would have been able to at least do what the San Francisco 49ers and Chicago Bears did last year when the 49ers traded down from 2 to 3 so that the Bears could make sure that they got their guy in Mitchell Trubisky. I'm surprised that the Giants didn't even try to get something like that done. Trade down, at least get one extra pick or something before you select Barkley. I just thought that was very, very surprising to me. But, you know, it's at the end of the day, there was enough buzz and everybody, all the insiders felt that it was going to be Saquon Barkley. So I guess it was a surprise, but looking back, it's not something that's super surprising.
Yeah, you mentioned Geis, and I guess a lot of us kind of thought Josh Rosen would end up being the last of the four. It kind of, the more buzz you heard, the more it seemed like that would be the case.
Yeah, exactly. And so still went top 10, which is good. And we kind of expected that teams were going to make moves up. And I think Arizona did a hell of a job to make sure that they did get him. We'll talk about that a little bit later.
Best round one value in your mind, Fran?
So I think Rosen, for sure. You know, Arizona only had to give up a 3 and a 5 to make sure that they got their guy. to move up. They're at 15. They move up to number 10. You look conversely, Baltimore gave up a future two to get Lamar Jackson. So they gave up a 3 and a 5 to make sure that they got their quarterback of the future. They still have a lot of work to do to build up around him, not just in terms of skill player talent, but also in terms of the offensive line. But if they have faith in Josh Rosen, which on the field you have to believe you've got faith in Josh Rosen. I thought he was one of the top two quarterbacks in this class. I think that they did a good job. I mean, that's exactly what you would want. You didn't have to give up any ones. You look at what the New York Jets gave up. They gave up 3 second-round picks to get their guy. I think the Arizona Cardinals did themselves a great service, only giving up a 3 and a 5 to move up 5 spots in the first round to get their guy at quarterback. So that would certainly be one. And then two guys that fell that I don't necessarily, you know, I didn't really see falling to where they fell. Derwin James falling almost out of the top 20 to the L.A. Chargers. You know, Gus Bradley gets, you know, what will be his version of Cam Chancellor in that defense out there in L.A. They get a great force up the middle for that defense to really kind of help hammer things down. The big issue that the Chargers had last year was stopping the run, and I think Derwin James, as the strong safety there, I think will go a long way towards helping that. And then the other round one value to me was Calvin Ridley. I think he's going to be outstanding in that offense in Atlanta. Obviously has some experience with their offensive coordinator. He's a guy that will play opposite of Julio Jones. He'll play in concert with Mohamed Sanu, both of those guys being able to play inside and outside. I think that that was a great pick for the Atlanta Falcons. So those would be the three players that I would say that was the best round one value in this draft.
All right, let's get to some day two value. You kind of already mentioned Harold Landry and where the Titans were able to get him. Who else did you think represented really good day two value? I guess I would say Darius Geis late in the second round, but you know, we'll see how that plays out with whatever his issues off the field are.
Yeah, and I would go off of that. I would say Ronnie Harrison to the Jacksonville Jaguars was not something that we expected, especially in the third round. I mean, we were talking about Ronnie Harrison as a back end of round one type talent, likely early round two. They end up getting him in the third, which was outstanding value. Again, in that defense, he brings that physical style, that physical nature that Tom Coughlin wants to instill in that culture, and they get another great player to play in the back end of that defense. And then, to me, Dallas Goedert for the Eagles, you know, getting him at 49. Number one, they moved down, so they acquire that future second-round pick from the Baltimore Ravens in that trade for Lamar Jackson. So the Eagles acquire a future second-round pick. They move down, and they have an idea. You know what? The Dallas Cowboys need a tight end. The Patriots may need a tight end. Let's just jump ahead a few spots here and make sure that we get our guy, a guy that we would have taken at 32. So they get Dallas Goedert, a player that we've talked about a lot on this show, a player that I've loved since the first time I watched him back last summer. I'm really, really excited to see how he's able to be used alongside Zach Ertz. We know Doug Peterson loves using those 12 and 13 personnel packages. So it's going to be a lot of fun being able to see Dallas Goedert develop in that offense.
Yeah, and I did they say that? That they would have taken him at 32? Because my point would be, I mean, a lot of times they say that, but if they had taken him at 32 at the end of round one, I don't think anybody would have thought that was crazy. I don't think anybody would have thought, wow, I can't believe they did that. I think they would have thought, all right, yeah, I thought he was a late first-round pick. And then they get him where they got him, I thought, at a position of need. I'm with you. Let's get to some day three value, guys, which a lot of times – seems to be guys that fall because of medical or other issues like that.
Yep, no question. And we'll stay with the Eagles. Getting Josh Sweat, the pass rusher from Florida State, a guy that many thought was a top 50 type talent. You know, I do the Journey to the Draft podcast over on PhiladelphiaEagles.com. And Russ, last week we did a mock draft where we bounced around and we asked, you know, all these reporters from all the cities around the league about first round targets and who they would take. We did a whole mock draft. And the Tennessee Titans took Josh Sweat in that mock draft. I think we had Paul Kuharski on from Tennessee, and he took Josh Sweat. So this was a guy that obviously had some buzz for the first round, a player that was considered a top 50 talent by most people, has size, has athleticism. The knee injury, it seems like, is the big reason why he fell. The production wasn't always there. He was kind of miscast in that scheme there from Charles Kelly at Florida State. But now he's going to an attacking front. And if he's healthy, That guy is going to be a great player in that defensive line. So to me, Josh Sweat was a huge value on day three. Other guys that fell, Jack Sitchie from Tampa Bay, I believe they got him in, the sixth round or seventh. I love Jack. To me, like, if Jack Sitchie, and he's got, you know, he had the torn pec, and then he's coming off the ACL. So this is a guy that's got two career or season-ending injuries in the last two seasons. If he was healthy, he would have been a top 50 pick. So this is a guy that I think that they got great value there in Tampa. They've already got two stud linebackers ahead of him, so it's not like he's a guy that needs to play right away. I'm a big fan of Jack Sitchie. The LA Rams getting John Kelly where they got him, I believe that was in the sixth round as well, to back up Todd Gurley and compete there with the other reserves there for the Rams. The Rams had like 19 sixth-round picks, and I think that this was maybe their best one. John Kelly there in the sixth round I thought was outstanding value. And then Tyrell Crosby, I think he was in the fifth round. He was my like second or third tackle, Ross. Like I really like Tyrell Crosby. I know you watched him as well. Big, powerful kid, the ability to move people. He goes to Detroit. It sounds like he's going to play guard for them. So, I mean, yeah, again, you've got you pair him with guys like Frank Ragnow and Taylor Decker and Glasgow and the other guys they've got there on that offensive line. They've got a pretty young group that I think they're going to try and build around. So I really like that value as well.
I liked Crosby when I watched his tape. I thought he could certainly give it a shot at offensive tackle first. I guess they say, Fran, that he had some concussion issues that I was not aware of. You know, sometimes
yeah,
the stuff doesn't come out until afterwards, but evidently that was his deal, some concussion issues. What about some guys that went undrafted that you think are studs?
So three guys, and I'll go with the first one I'm going to go with, and it's really interesting, Ross. I think one of the things I like about doing player comparisons, there's not much I like about doing player comparisons, but the one thing I do like is when one kind of like hits you over the head, like I'll watch a guy and I'll be like, man, like he just, within like 30 plays, I'll just say to myself, like he really reminds me of player X. And then that player ends up going to either the team where that guy plays or the coach that coached him. And it's like, yeah, like I guess he saw something similar. And one of those instances was Hercules Mataafa, the defensive lineman from Washington State. And I watched Hercules Mataafa, an undersized interior defensive lineman, a guy that would have to transition to play more off the edge, but certainly could give you reps inside if you needed it in sub package. And I really thought that Hercules Mataafa reminded me of Brian Robeson, who's been with the Minnesota Vikings playing under Mike Zimmer. And Hercules Mataafa goes undrafted, and he ends up with the Minnesota Vikings playing for Mike Zimmer. So that was one instance where that happened. Cole Madison getting drafted by the Green Bay Packers after I comped him to David Bakhtiari also was one of those other ones. But two other guys that went undrafted. Puna Ford for Seattle, you know, playing for the Seattle Seahawks now, out of Texas, I thought was really good value. Look, Puna Ford's undersized, but that kid is really disruptive. He's athletic. He's got the ability to make plays on the other side of the line of scrimmage. I really like that pick. I think he's going to be a really good pickup for them after the draft. And then the Rams got a linebacker that I really like. T-Gray Scales is a little bit undersized, but the kid's instinctive. He's tough. He's an NFL linebacker. So those would be the three undrafted guys that I thought teams got the best value out of.
So here's my question. Like, Alan Lazard and Simi Cobbs, neither one of those guys gets drafted. I mean, I feel like those guys made so many plays for those teams.
Yeah, dude. One of the things I'm going to be doing shortly is just like looking at some of the trends in this draft, like, you know, maybe some takeaways that we can kind of walk away from in this class. And one thing that just stands out is just the amount of underclassmen that didn't get drafted again. And it's heartbreaking, man. I mean, I know that the NFL and college football, they're working on continuing to tweak this process and improve this process so guys can get more information. They put in that new rule this past summer, for guys to get graded by NFL, by those preseason scouting services, so that going into their junior years, they have a hard set grade on them before, you know, so they know, hey, this is how the NFL feels about me. Don't follow, you know, this mock draft or that mock draft or what I saw in this headline. Let's just go off what the league is seeing. But still just a lot of guys that got drafted that I think it was a third of them, right? I might be wrong, but it was a lot of players that left school early that didn't get drafted. And that's just, it's tough to see.
Yeah, and Josh Adams, you know, like the running back from Notre Dame.
Yeah.
I mean, now, I can see him saying, you know what, I'm a running back. Why do I want to get more wear and tear on my body? And I'm never going to have Quentin Nelson and Mike McGlinchey again.
Sure.
And the Eagles ended up scooping him up. And the flip side of that, Fran, is these teams aren't always right. Because think about what the Eagles got last year out of Corey Clement as an undrafted guy who had a great career at Wisconsin.
Yeah, and that's the thing, is that there's always guys that, you know, that kind of fall through the cracks. That's why you're always going to find players in undrafted free agency. It's just tough when you see juniors that had another, you know, had the ability to either get better in school for their senior, or at least make sure you go and get your degree. And, you know, they'll be able to go back and get their degree, but it won't be under scholarship or anything like that. So it's that's just one of the things that I take away from this again, is just you'd like to see some of those guys make better decisions in terms of coming out early. But I agree with you. At the running back position, that's one spot where you could definitely make the argument that it's still worth it to come out.
Who are some of these guys that you're really intrigued to see how they fit?
Well, I go Josh Allen, which, you know, they trade up to number 7 to make sure they get him, the Buffalo Bills. I'm really excited to just see what they do there. Brian Daboll is the offensive coordinator. He's fresh there from Alabama, previously the New England Patriots. Just what they're going to try and do to get him acclimated quickly. How quickly will he be able to get into the starting lineup? I'm assuming he's going to battle with A.J. McCarron, and they'll kind of let those guys play it out. But it'll be really interesting just to see how he fits. The skill position talent isn't great there in Buffalo right now. The offensive line certainly has had its share of losses this offseason. So I would imagine it would be tough sledding for him early, but it's going to be interesting to see overall how he fits and how he develops there, because I'm still a fan of how he projects to the NFL down the road. And then Vita Vea, number 12 to Tampa. We know about all the free agent signings that they've made there this offseason in terms of both inside and outside. They get Bo Allen, you know, they get Mitch Unrein inside. You go and you get Vinnie Curry. You trade for Jason Pierre-Paul. You already had some other guys already on campus that can work for you in terms of being either starting quality players or at least quality backup players. So it'll be interesting to see how Vita Vea is used early. Obviously, an extremely powerful human being that just needs to be. Look, we've seen some of these guys come out in recent memory. Danny Shelton is one. You know, Andrew Billings from Baylor is another. They're really powerful. They had the ability to out-muscle guys at the college level, but in terms of technique and using your hands and playing consistently with good pad level inside, you can't just out-muscle everybody in the NFL. That's not how it's going to work. So it's going to be interesting to see how they're able to bring along Vita Vea and help him develop. And then mentioned Terrell Edmonds. I'm interested to see how he's used by the Pittsburgh Steelers to help justify, you know, that number 28 overall selection, you know, because is he going to be a sub package player early and then a 3-down player late? Those would be the three names that I think I'm most interested to see how they develop, not just this year's rookies, but year two, year three.
Who were some teams, Fran, that you thought were really big winners in the draft?
So we'll go through over the next few weeks and look at each division and see, you know, go break down pick by pick. But just off the cuff, a few teams that really stood out. San Francisco, I thought, hit it out of the park. The one knock that you can say about the San Francisco 49ers is we remember a few years ago, this was after their Super Bowl run and everything, that they took a lot of chances on injured players, guys that either had a history or had a recent injury that that hurt their draft process. And a lot of the players they took either missed this offseason, you know, for the pre-draft process, or got hurt already, or have had questions about injuries in the past. So that'll be one thing to watch, but every player they took, I'm looking at, like, yeah, I had that guy highly graded. I thought he was a really talented player. So for me, that was one team that really stood out. Green Bay, I thought, did a really good job, especially early. They acquired that 2019 first-round pick from the New Orleans Saints, and then they're able to get two man corners for themselves, Josh Jackson, and then also Jair Alexander from Louisville in the first round. So to get both of those guys from Mike Pettine, I thought was a huge plus for them. I thought the Washington Redskins did a really good job in this draft. The Denver Broncos as well, the Tampa Bay Bucks overall, I would say from top to bottom, did a really nice job. And then in terms of, look, Arizona and the New York Jets, Sam Darnold, Josh Rosen, you could say the same thing about Cleveland and Buffalo as well. If you feel confident that you got your guy, like, we, you know, coming out of last year's draft, you looked at Chicago and you looked at Kansas City and Houston, three teams that traded up for quarterbacks, and we said, oh, you know, we're not really sure about any of these guys because we were kind of lukewarm on that class as a whole. All three of those teams feel really good about their guy. You know, they all feel good about Watson, Trubisky, and Mahomes. if all four of those teams feel good, then this draft's a win, regardless of anything else they did. Everyone else could flop, but if their quarterback hit right, then this will be considered a huge win for those franchises.
I'm really, really looking forward to diving into each team's draft. I'm a little surprised that you feel that way about San Francisco. To me, I don't know. I thought, you know, to trade up for Dante Pettis, McGlinchey at 9, it was a little surprising, and I didn't think that was as big a need as some of the other things they had. Then they took some guys like the Southern Miss kid or Kentavious Street coming off the injury that are more kind of boom or bust. That's what's great about this. It'll be fun for you and I to go division by division. That means we'll talk about your entire team, what they did, as well as what every other team in your team's division did, so we can get really in-depth with this, because that's what you guys come here for, to the College Draft Podcast. Make sure you're checking out the Ross Tucker Football Podcast, certainly the Fantasy Feast, and we'll talk about some of the prop bets that took down pretty much the Vegas casinos. Man, they took a bath. We'll talk about that on the Even Money Podcast. A lot of other stuff with Evan Silva on the Fantasy Feast Podcast. How about Evan, by the way, Fran, having the best mock draft in the country?
Nailed it. Evan's the man, dude.
10 of them. The best That's part awesome. Of him, the best part of him having getting 10 of the 32 right was he had Sony Michel to the Patriots at 31, because both Mike Mayock and Mike Lombardi, who are confidants of Belichick, were talking about how Sony Michel had medical issues, and he's like, yeah, I'm going to go the other way. That means the Patriots are taking him at 31.
That's awesome.
That's exactly what happened. So take a listen to the Fantasy Feast Podcast, obviously the Ross Tucker Football Podcast, and we never stop here on the College Draft Podcast. We'll be back at it next week, starting with our divisional breakdown, where we can really dive deep into all these picks and what we think of them. Fran is always available on Twitter at FDuffy3. He also pops in on tuckheads.com from time to time. You can check out the Eagle Eye in the Sky podcast, Journey to the Draft, all those type of things he's got for you. I'm at Ross Tucker NFL or facebook.com/RossTuckerNFL. And the podcast is at RTF Podcast. Remember, now that your team is drafted, if you have a specific question about something that happened in the draft or a player that your team drafted that you want to have a specific question about, take advantage of any of the sponsors over on the sponsor page at rostucker.com and send it to me, ross@rostucker.com, with your question for Fran. Other than that, the keg is kicked. We are all tapped out.
Thanks for enjoying your Frosty One while listening to the College Draft.
Chugga, 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 chugga.
Make sure you're also subscribing to the Ross Tucker Football Podcast, Fantasy Feast, and Even Money Podcasts, all available on iTunes at rostucker.com or wherever podcasts can be found.